After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Now to the battle over social media. Are they contributing to what a Facebook whistleblower this week called a toxic environment for teens?
A couple years ago, something called BlackPlanet.com sold for, I guess, $38 million.
Yeah.
Before the social media giants that tower over us today, there was a website that set out to connect people with people, and more specifically targeting the African American community. That website was none other than Black Planet, founded by Dr. Omar Watso and Benjamin Sun.
MySpace was one of the first social networking sites to reach mass adoption. It was worth $12 billion and outranked Google as the most visited website on the internet. Everyone had a MySpace account, and they were all eager to find out what these new social networks were about. And then, all of a sudden, people just stopped using it.
A recent article in The Atlantic takes a look at how the inability to stay logged off of social media can best be compared to alcohol addiction.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to After School Special Podcast. I've been told by my producer, Donald, that I need to stop swearing. So, in regards to the lady that commented, I'm just going to go after her.
She doesn't even listen to her.
Anyways, today on After School Special After School Special Podcast, we're talking about social media and the start of it, at least for us back in the early 90s. Don, what was your first foray into the social meds?
After high school, I was basically doing AOL Messenger at that point still. And I sound old. And I even still have my AOL email account. So that's how old I am. But
damn, do you got a Yahoo account too?
Yeah, I do.
You fossil?
I do. Who cares? Like Gmail, AOL, it goes to the same place. But whatever. I was still doing Messenger. But in like 2002, when I just graduated high school, my friends, we were hanging out in the summertime. And they just mentioned this site that they're on. And they've been meeting primarily, they were meeting women on this site. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're just going on the internet? Because later on, it was like Craigslist listings. But I was like, you're doing like listings and meeting like blind dates? Like, no, you go on this thing and you know, you got to set up a page. You got to, you know, you could put up music and stuff. So immediately I was intrigued. And then later on, I found out the site is called BlackPlanet.com, a site for African Americans and minorities to come together in the community, in social media, and talk and communicate. And that was the first thing that I noticed when social media was on the rise. And it was Black Planet. What about you?
For me, it's the same thing. AOL, you get into the like the message chats, the message forums and whatnot. I met someone on there one time. It was pretty interesting. Wanted me to come over and to hang out. And
was this a chat room or AOL?
Yeah, it was a chat room. It was a chat room.
Wow.
Come to find out, it was it was probably a dude.
Fred.
Oh, yeah,
Fred the molester.
just typing and whispering.
You ever been catfished?
Oh yeah, tons of times. There was another time where it was a old man river. Tries to get into my pants.
What year was that, that you were on AOL Messenger?
That had to have been in high school is when it started for me. LiveJournal was the other one after that. LiveJournal.
I never got into LiveJournal.
So you go to like Brainy Quotes and you get like a quote off of there that makes you deep and foreboding. When there is no peril in the fight, there is no glory in the triumph. Like that. Or like music lyrics that would just get all the women's to swoon and want to be with you because that's how cool I was back then. And then I did my own digital like artwork, which was Microsoft Paint that I thought was really good.
Yeah.
And then like a fuzzy picture that I took where I'm like, I'm so misunderstood.
Did you have a webcam?
Maybe you can understand me. No, 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 not a webcam. Never wanted to get to that point.
You never had a webcam.
Okay, well, I've done like chat roulette and all that. I have a webcam like now.
No. I mean, before they were attached to computers like nowadays. I mean,
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
God, no.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Hell yeah, you had to clip it on your computer. And yeah, it was grainy ass.
I bet you were making all the 60, 70-year-old men just
jerk it.
Yeah. Go on chat roulette. That's all that is.
What is? Okay. Was that back in the day?
Well, you just
too?
Click like, okay. Well, hey, how's it going? And then they wave back and you talk. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, how's that look? And just start. Pretty much just dudes jerking off. Every like video is. And he doesn't like your face, he'll keep going sometimes. But yeah, for me, it was LiveJournal. So you get to put in like a little entry. You couldn't do pictures or anything like that. It's bare bones social media. And I was going to give a little background into LiveJournal. And then I figured you give background in Black Planet, and then we both kind of talk about MySpace. So within this podcast, I'm sure there might have been other social media sites out there that you could think of. And if you do, leave us a voicemail on our messaging system. Don, what is it called again?
The site is called speakpipe.com, and our handle on there is latchkeykidsspeak. So if you go to speakpipe.com, put in latchkeykidsspeak, you can leave us a voicemail. And we'll probably set up, before it's all said and done, just a simple WhatsApp text messaging service where people can just text us if they want to. If it's easier, because, you know, mainly people are on their phones anyway. So.
Yep. Anyone leave us a voicemail?
No.
As is going to be the running joke.
It just no, no.
No. No latchkey kids want to speak. Well, you can also find that link in our bio or Instagram bio and scroll down. It's down there. Leave us a voicemail, please. So, yeah, we were just going to talk a little bit, but if there's another one that you could think of, message us on Instagram, you know, ones that you started with. If, you know, you're in the 80s, I guess letters, pen pals was another social media thing.
Well, Yahoo Messenger, too. Like there's AOL Messenger and Yahoo Messenger kind of supplanted AOL Messenger for a brief second. And then
I was going to say, like, social media has been taken over by, or at least Facebook, by boomers who think they have a pedophilic government, which I don't know about this one. I don't think he's capable of thought beyond what sausage links or sausage patties. You know what I'm saying?
Does he really like sausage patties?
I don't know. He likes...
It's got to have dentures, right? I don't know.
If you're in government, you can't have your teeth or your real skin, you know, if you're in the government. It's just a bunch of, you know, cloacas and scales and sharp teeth and fangs from both sides, Republican or Democrat. But that's what the boomers believe that are on Facebook. And that's why they go messaging back and forth. I don't know about you, but like social media in general, before we start talking about this stuff, has given like some of the greatest things ever, like the documentary Loose Change. I don't know if you've ever seen that. No. It's the whole 9/11 conspiracy. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. And then you also have.
Yes.
Yeah. Just the random crap that came out in the beginnings of social media. Just little inklings of what QAnon was going to be one day. And all these people seeing this stuff, it's like, well, jet fuel can't melt steel beams. You look at Tower 7. You got to look at Tower 7.
Well, part of social media is distraction. We talked about it in the reality television episode we did, which you guys can listen to now. It's now streaming. But when I said in 2002, people were looking for a distraction because of 9/11. I think that kind of gave rise to media sites like MySpace, Black Planet to overtake people's attention. Even though there was a dot-com bubble that popped.
Boom. Yeah.
A boom and then a pop. Still, a lot of these social media sites survived because there were a
Which
way.
Which is crazy to think. Specifically, these ones I didn't quite understand. And I want to go on some of these to be like, okay, who's on these? And it's just a bunch of old dudes
or bots or foreign entities trying to infiltrate us, allegedly.
Hey, and they're like behind the curve, so it's like, hey, have you voted yet? you shouldn't vote for this guy. You know what I'm saying? A Russian accent.
Vote no.
Vote no on proposal 69 for 20.
Why do they sound like Count Dracula when you do them?
I don't know. That's my Russian accent.
That's pretty good.
I love borscht. It's all that dairy and vodka.
Add me as friend. Comrade.
Vote Donald Trump in 2020.
Oh, yeah, he did say he was coming back, didn't he? Huh. Interesting.
It's going to be the best election ever. Not sure about Joe Biden. Sleepy Joe. He's okay. I don't like him. Vote.
No, don't vote. It's rigged. Unless I win, you know.
The election's rigged. Don't vote for me. Vote for Joe Biden. No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't. I crap my pants.
Yeah, he's probably at that age now.
But social media in general has made us think that our opinion is fact, and it is not. Most people that are on social media are dumbasses, and me as well. I like to think that I know a lot and that I am somewhat of a genius.
Only somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, only somewhat. But yeah, if I can stay away from it, I'll post like memes and stuff, but it seems as though I need to start doing more on the Instagram.
You have to feed the beast. That's what it's all about. It's daily feeding.
The algorithm. Yeah. The algorithm. Yeah, dude, I absolutely hate it.
I do too. I love this process of creating and making something entertaining.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. It comes out every Wednesday before the episode comes out on Friday. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
So, after school special podcast, we are looking for a social media manager. It's going to be an internship, unpaid, of course.
Yeah.
But
underline
that. We can figure out a way to get you college credit if you do social media. So LiveJournal in general was just that. It was a journal originally to post thoughts and whatnot, and you could make it public or you could just make it for yourself. You could then start adding people, just creating a community and whatnot. People could like your posts.
Yeah.
Man, I was such a little, but you can't get back into your old live journals. As far as I know, they don't keep a record of it and they changed platforms in a way. So just to,
you don't think that information is just somewhere out there. You don't think so?
It's gotta be. So maybe this is one of the reasons why no one uses live journal anymore. Live journal is a Russian owned social networking service.
Has it always been that way?
Doesn't look like it. It looks like the American programmer that created it was Brad Fitzpatrick in 1999 as a way of keeping his high school friends updated on his activities, because everyone wanted to know what Brad Fitzpatrick was doing.
Absolutely.
Back in 1999.
The comings, the goings.
Mostly the comings. In January 2005, American blogging software company Six Apart purchased Dang It Interactive, the company that operated LiveJournal, from Fitzpatrick. So he sold out like right around when it started ending for me. So he was very smart to sell LiveJournal, as far as I know. Let's see here. Six Apart sold LiveJournal to a Russian media company in 2007. So Sup Media service continued to operate out of the US via California-based subsidiary LiveJournal Inc., but began moving some operations to Russian offices in 2009, just in time. I was going to say the 2016 election. I'm just kidding.
Setting things up, getting their tentacles in.
Exactly.
Tentacles.
In December 2016, the service relocated its servers to Russia. Actually, holy fuck. Okay. The servers relocated the servers to Russia. This was after the 2016 election. And in April 2017, LiveJournal changed its terms of service to conform to Russian law. As other social networks, a wide variety of public figures use the service, as do political pundits who use it for political commentary, particularly in Russia, where its partners with the online newspaper Gazette.ru, which is the Russian blah, blah, blah.
The Russians got future information on future senators, presidents, congressmen early. So later on, they can use that information if they need to. Like, oh, but back in 1999, you said you were jerking off somebody down the street and nobody knew.
So Matt they got Gaetz.
Yeah, jerk Gaetz. I don't know.
Jerk that, Gaetz.
Yeah, they got all your information. That's crazy. Aaron, they know things.
I didn't realize that.
Nobody that is, does.
Huh. Okay, so just to go over some of the features real quick, each journal entry, it had its own web page, which was kind of crazy. You could type in, you know, the whole link to that post, and then you could customize your accounts by posting avatars, user pics, more or less.
Would you purchase that or?
No. When I was doing it, if you did a paid account, at least I didn't see it. There was extra storage space with a paid account, the voice post. This was all after I had used it. I had stopped using it in 2005 is when I stopped. Mm-hmm. And then I was on MySpace for a little bit until I was able to get on Facebook, which Facebook at the time, you could only be in college to use it. And I wasn't in college yet. I think when it first came out, which was like, I remember hearing about it in 2004. And then I went to Wayne State. And I think by that time, they had changed that whole college thing. I'm surprised at the fact that this is still a thing. I don't know if
LiveJournal is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it's still up and running. And then the mascot for LiveJournal was Frank the Goat. But it was like right on the front. Let me see
Frank
here.
Frank the Goat.
While LiveJournal permits adult-oriented content, it is a user responsibility to mark content as inappropriate for minors. There are two types of adult content. Adult concepts, the rating applies to content. And then there's just the fucking hardcore pornography.
Whatever you gotta do.
Let me see here. Just some of the controversies that happened with LiveJournal, if anyone remembers the invite system. Which I didn't know that this was an issue from September 2nd, 2001 until December 12th, 2003. The growth of LiveJournal was checked by an invite code system. The curbing of a membership was necessitated by a rate of growth faster than the server architecture could handle. New users were required to either obtain an invite code from an existing user or a paid account. I didn't even know that this happened. They must have gotten rid of the invite code because when I started, as far as I remember, I didn't need a code to get in there. Elimination of the invite code system was met with mixed feelings and some opposition. LiveJournal's management pointed out that the invite code system had always been intended to be temporary.
So the only way to get on that site was to be invited. That's crazy.
Yep. And then a lot of the time, I think that was the same thing with
something. Like,
yeah,
it is weird.
Well, that's how they pull you in. That's how Facebook pulled people in originally. And college, now it's just all a bunch of boomers yelling about how Biden is a part of a devil cult, which we've already talked about. This is the issue that I have with social media.
And by the time I noticed that, as you say, boomers took over Facebook, it was like Instagram was here all of a sudden and Snapchat was here. And I was still thinking Facebook was like the end all be all. And this was like a younger cousin told me this. She was like 15 or 16, like 10 years ago. And we're like, yo, what are you on? She's like, oh, I'm on Instagram. I'm like, oh, what's that? Like, you're not on Facebook? I'm like, Facebook, that's for old people. That was like 10 years ago. I was like, wow, this is 2012. It like faded out really fast. And then all of a sudden it was old. I didn't know that. I was just left on Facebook by myself, like, oh, aren't we still doing
this? Well, I was right there with you, too, for a little bit. I didn't want to really join anything else. I got an Instagram once I got my smartphone. I didn't get a smartphone until 2017. Mm. And most of the social media stuff I did on my computer, so I was never really on it. And I'm glad I didn't get on it because I became obsessed with it for a little bit going on TikTok and shit. But yeah, get me on the Trump site, I guess.
It's all TikTok and Twitter.
Is it? Okay. One of the reasons why we did this podcast specifically right around the time that we were talking about it was when Elon was taking over Twitter with his ego and his pride and thinking that he could just do whatever he wants as Mr. Elon does, Mr. Tesla. And we wanted to talk a little bit of the beginnings of it. I don't think it was meant to be as angry as it is, or like people bickering back and forth. It was meant to bring people closer, but at the same time, we see that we're getting constant information. Our brains can't handle it as much as you want to think it can.
That's why dumb people are thriving on social media. They're very narrow-minded. They have a message. They want to hear that message. They want to be in that echo room. All the smart people, I think, are going crazy.
We want to thank our Lord Savior, Donald Trump, for this turkey this season and having our family together. No homo.
I'm glad we're not cussing on this episode.
Yeah, I'm trying. That is another thing. I'm trying so hard not to. And yeah, we mentioned earlier that lovely, lovely lady.
It was an idea in general.
Audience, tell us. Because I think sometimes I lean too much into the swearing. So like everything I do, I try to stop myself. And I try to do these disciplinary acts. And I try to better myself in some way, shape, or form. Well, anyways, we're trying to practice non-swearing. So let me just get all this stuff out real quick.
It's like, because I don't smoke cigarettes and I never really have. It's like smoking a cigarette for me, that release of just saying, fuck, mother, god, son of a, suck a. Like, it's like I took a good drag off a cigarette. That's my version of it, at least.
Yeah. Or just cigarette.
I mean, when you got stressed, when you were smoking cigarettes, that's what you do. You smoke a cigarette to calm
yourself. But you don't realize that it doesn't calm you down. It accelerates your heart rate and makes things, exacerbates the situation more often than not. Anyways.
Live journal. You say you got off in 2005 and then you got onto MySpace.
I got on MySpace. There were just one or two more things I wanted to touch on with LiveJournal. It had the whole friend thing as well. You know, you could add, subtract people where you wanted to. Account suspensions were very rare, but they did happen. And it was because of correctable problems. But you just didn't see, at least when I was doing it, you couldn't block, you couldn't do any of that stuff. And I don't know. It was just like people weren't arguing about stuff. I don't know, man, because everyone's so crazy about politics now and how they look or deem politics are, where it's very combative and it's like, it's almost like wrestling, which it wasn't when I was a kid. It wasn't like that. But now that we're into this whole red versus blue, Christian versus non-Christian, you know, gays versus straights, black versus white, white versus everybody. Anyways.
But you mentioned you could use avatars and you did. Yep. So you could use coding on that interface library?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you could?
They showed you how to do it, too. You could change whatever you want, but it wasn't like, unless you knew how to get more into the system and code it the way you wanted it to, they kind of offered that to you, if I remember correctly.
Like templates?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it was very much in line with the other social media at the time. Like Black Planet, when I talk about that. That's where I learned a little bit. And you probably the same way learned about coding and like the basics of coding, copying and pasting, and learning how to put certain fonts, pictures in the code in order for it to be on your page. And sometimes you would go on these sites and you would see the most beautiful pages. And you'd be like, wow, I want my page to look like that. You know, later on, you found a way to copy and paste what the person did, but then put your own little spin to it. But anyway, could you put music on your page?
No, pretty sure you couldn't. I never did.
Because on MySpace, for sure, you could. Because before I even knew about MySpace, I learned about Black Planet. And officially, Black Planet was launched on September 1st, 2001, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. It was, 10 days before 9/11. But I didn't get on Black Planet until 2002, like shortly after I graduated high school. It was like in that summer.
Yeah.
But it was started by Dr. Omar Wasso, who is a biracial man who I believe was born in Kenya to a German Jewish immigrant and an African American woman. And both his parents were educators. He was raised in New York, Brooklyn, and then he later on went to college to Stanford. He said from a young age, when he was in middle school, he begged his way into a computer class because he was a big video game nerd. Dr. Wassel was. He said instead of consuming video games and stuff like that, he wanted to actually make video games. And that's what he ultimately did. But he also struggled while he was in college because he was biracial. So he said a lot of the Black community, they didn't really accept him. He said because of that suffering or that new sense of not being able to belong anywhere, because he said when he was in New York, he never had that problem because everybody in New York identified as a New Yorker. There weren't really a lot of conflicts when it comes to his ethnicity. But he said while he was in college, he felt that pain. And instead of like internalizing it, he found a way to not only get closer to his African-American side by joining these clubs as far as like Black enrichment clubs, but he also wanted to communicate with other ethnicities. And around 1993, he started a website called New York Online. And he started that in 1993 in his apartment. And he was running this site, he was coding it, doing most of the things himself. But in order to make ends meet and to support that website, he had to outsource his own talents by doing codings for other websites. Like, I believe it was Vibe magazine. But anyway, he was outsourcing his talents, doing coding, trying to get money to support that. But at the same time, while he was doing this, in a meeting in 1996, he met another person.
Bill Gates.
Close. CEO Benjamin Sun in 1996, who already launched and had an existing website, Asian Avenue and Mahente.com.
That sounds like porn. Wait, what? What? What?
Asian Avenue and Mahente.com. Have you ever heard of
that?
Sounds like
porn sites.
It sounds like. Well, which
Asian
I was.
Hente, it almost sounds like hente.
Well, I was actually on both of those sites at one point or another.
Of course you were.
Of course I was. This is a very nerdy thing to say, but it was like going out into space and discovering new worlds. It was like that Star Trek show, The Next Generation, where it's like, okay, there's Mahente, there's Black Planet. What else is out there? Like you said earlier, there's chat rooms. Like, well, what the hell else is out there? It's like the internet was so new to us.
And just full of semen.
Yeah, largely. I mean, well, the guy that he connected with, Benjamin Sun, who had a thing going with Asian Avenue and Mahente.com. Mm-hmm. And the website was run by Community Connect, and it was based in New York City. They both hooked up as far as ideas. He saw what Benjamin Sun was doing with putting a social website that was dedicated to those minority groups, and Benjamin Sun and Dr. Wassel came together, meeting of the minds, and Dr. Wassel came up with the idea of doing Black Planet, which was founded in 1999. And like I said, the launch was in September 1st, 2001. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the site was dedicated at first for, of course, African Americans. They can go to the site and talk to each other, but it was mainly for dating. You know, it was kind of a mix of both. Like, you can go in there and talk to random people. They also had like one of the first
dating chat features. Rooms?
Yeah, sure. Dating chat rooms that was on that website that really helped it out at first. And I think around 2002, that's what kind of gravitated me too, because it's like, oh, I don't actually have to do it like my parents or my grandparents, where I have to get hooked up through a friend, or you have to meet somebody at the bar. You can just go on a site, and if you don't like them, you just stop talking to them and go to another page. But eventually it grew, and it grew to about 16 million people on that website. And at the time, it was bigger than MySpace, or it was doing about the same numbers. And around 2008, then president candidate Barack Obama even created a profile on Black Planet in order to connect with minorities even more and drive out people to vote, namely African Americans. And we were talking about this earlier. President Obama was one of the first presidential candidates, and probably the first, to utilize social media to garner votes and get the young people to vote, namely African Americans. And we said in the last episode, reality TV episode, that, you know, President Donald Trump was the first reality TV president, but, you know, Barack Obama was the first social media president, because relative to 2008, he was relatively unknown. And then he garnered all this popularity, and mainly it was through social media. And, you know, basically it was a campaign through these sites like Facebook, Twitter, smartphones, and apps like this. So Black Planet, it fell on hard times because it just couldn't keep up with emerging sites like MySpace and Facebook. It was always kind of behind the curb when it came to the platform, trying to keep up with the new innovations that those other sites were doing. I think at the peak, it only had like 15 people working on the site. Like Black Planet only featured like 15 people around the clock working on that platform, and it just couldn't keep up. And the guy, Dr. Wasso, he sold the site for $38 million to Radio One.
That's not bad.
No.
Not bad at all. 38?
Well, it was Community Connect. Benjamin Sun, he sold Community Connect, and Community Connect owns Black Planet. So when he sold that, Black Planet was included. And according to Dr. Wasso, he didn't really get a substantial amount from that purchase, because by that point, he didn't have a substantial share in Black Planet, because around 2008, he was more preoccupied with educating minorities and doing other things in education. He wasn't really thinking about technology and Black Planet as much. His focus wasn't really on that anymore. But he did do a good job of securing advertisements for the site in the beginning that propelled it to as many members as it once held. And even in 2022, I saw on the site, it's still up, and they're trying to reboot the whole site, which is fascinating because I thought it was completely gone. But a large amount of the cool things that you could do on there was design your page, not unlike MySpace of the day, but you can design your page. That's how I learned about coding, like the little basics of coding, putting in music, putting in your picture. That I even thought about going to school for coding because of that, because it was pretty fun seeing how things work behind the scenes and then seeing.
Yeah, I think if you talk to coders, they would tell you don't do it.
Why is that?
Don't go into coding.
Why?
Why? Because it's awful. All I hear are just nightmares as to writing code and whatnot. And if something doesn't work, it could be because of a comma. And you have these lines and lines of code, and something's not working. You have to go back and redo. It's just, I only know like one or two people that did it for a living and got out of it as soon as they could. Now, mind you, I think you get paid pretty decently.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of stress and a lot of work.
It's tedious.
And I'm realizing I don't really like work.
You're realizing that now?
Yeah, I'd just rather practice Taoism and just live in the forest somewhere. That would be nice.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, if you like to see us in the flesh, we have video highlights of our episodes we release on every Wednesday before the new episode that comes out Friday. As always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show.
After School Special Podcast.
It's this lady and she's like, "Hi, welcome to my vagina."
After School Special Podcast.
What robot pet starts out speaking a unique language but eventually speaks English? Gloopy? The fuck is a gloopy?
Podcast comes out every Friday.
Well, to talk about MySpace. Actually, MySpace started August 1st, 2003.
MySpace was 2003?
2003 is when it started, and I was only on it from 2003 to 2005. I remember that, but I was on it all the time.
I thought it was 99.
No. It started in 2003.
Oh, no kidding.
Based in the United States.
So Black Planet was before MySpace.
Yep, so was LiveJournal, all that stuff. The site was the first social network to reach a global audience.
Yeah.
You know, the other ones that we spoke about, they were there, but they hadn't reached a real precipice. Like, people were using it. They realized that, oh, this is a different way. It's more or less people having their own website of themselves and all the things that they do, which we all know now really isn't the case. You know, most of these people don't live great lives. Most of the time they're yelling at their kids, even though they have them in their videos and they have all the pretty pumpkins and, I don't know, some craft that they're doing. Then when the Johnny or Susie mess up, they're getting rulers smacked on their fingertips. In August 2003, several E-Universe employees with Friendster accounts, which Friendster was another one, but I never was on Friendster.
Nope.
Saw potential in its social networking features. The group decided to mimic the more popular features of the website. Within 10 days, the first version of MySpace was ready for launch, implemented using Cold Fusion, a complete infrastructure of finance, human resources, technical expertise, bandwidth, and server capacity was available for the site. The project was overseen by Brad Greenspan, E-Universe's founder, chairman, and CEO, who managed Chris DeWolf, MySpace's starting CEO, Josh Burnham, Tom Anderson, MySpace's starting president, which Tommy. Everyone knows who Tom is because he's the first guy on there when you go on MySpace's site.
And he's your first friend.
Exactly. Yes. Even if you went on there and were never able to add anyone, you would at least have one friend. And that was Tom.
Did you ever try to talk to Tom?
No.
Oh.
It was during this period in June 2003, prior to the birth of MySpace, that Jeffrey Edel was brought on as a chairman of parent company Intermix Media. All the first users of MySpace were just E-Universe employees, I guess. They held contests to see who could sign up the most users. So it was kind of like bare bones for a little bit. Despite having over 10 times the number of developers, Friendster, which was developed in Java server pages, so this is for all the programmers and whatnot that may or may not listen, could not keep up with the speed of development of MySpace and CFM. That's crazy. So MySpace was just growing exponentially.
Yeah.
And this was also one of the reasons why YouTube got popular, Google, PhotoBucket. I never used RockYou. And it was just crazy how quickly it rose. Afterwards, I know Tom and Chris DeWolf, they sold to News Corp back in 2005 for $580 million.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
Well, that was the whole thing. Like, everyone joked, like, Tom's no longer the president. That was after 2005. As far as I knew, he was no longer really involved, but he became the face of the company, as far as I know. That's what it looks like.
Because I read something like Justin Timberlake was part of the buying group who eventually, I think $35 million. They bought it. Maybe they're saying he invested $35 million? I don't know.
Let me see here.
Like, I always thought that, like, Black Planet was before MySpace, and a lot of things that Black Planet, Mahente, and sites like Asian Avenue were doing, I felt like MySpace came around and just copied everything from them. And then eventually they surpassed all those sites. I feel like Black Planet, Mahente, everything that was part of Community Connect never got that credit for being the first to do that.
Oh, of course not. We know that this story is as old as time. Anytime a Black person does anything, white people have to steal it. And
I wasn't going that far. But
oh, come on, man.
I was going to say how big businesses can just come in. And for the most part, even though Black Planet at one point was the fourth most popular social media site by 2008. Yeah, Black Planet just couldn't keep up. They were still using Flash, and they weren't catering to smartphones for a long time. The thought was Black people don't use smartphones, so we're catering to people that still use flip phones, which ridiculous thing to think of, but it was 2012 when that statement was made. But
oh, damn. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, they might have done some research.
Were you doing the chirp phones? Then still.
Oh, Nextel? Hell yeah, I guess. I never had
Where
that.
You at?
I used to hate those phones.
Yeah, so did I.
The chirps?
Yeah, and I'd be like, where are you at? like chirp them.
Or it was just a two-way walkie-talkie, right?
Yeah, more or less.
That you didn't have to pay for.
Exactly. And
anytime minutes. But when did you get on MySpace? Because right around the time I got on MySpace, I was, like I said, already on Black Planet. So a lot of the coding and the concept of that, I felt like I was a little bit ahead of the game when I got on MySpace.
Because MySpace was 2004 for me. I was only on there maybe till 2006. So I wanted to touch on what you had spoken about. Justin Timberlake, the purchase happened by News Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Bought MySpace in 2005 for $580 million. In June 2006, it surpassed Yahoo and Google to become the most visited website in the United States and generated $800 million in revenue during the 2008 fiscal year.
Wow.
At its peak in April 2008, MySpace and Facebook reached 115 million unique users, but MySpace narrowly lost to the newly emerging Facebook. And then you see this downtrend for MySpace and uptrend for Facebook. So now by 2019, the site's monthly visitors had dropped to 7 million.
Is there still MySpace? Still,
yeah, actually, they said, I think it was in 2019, because I still had a MySpace, that they lost a bunch of accounts, a bunch of pictures,
yeah,
all this
lost
stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And in June 2009, MySpace employed approximately 1,600 employees. In June 2011, Specific Media Group and Justin Timberlake jointly purchased the company for approximately $35 million. On February 11th, 2016, it was announced that MySpace and its parent company had been purchased by Time Inc. for $87 million. Imagine that. Damn, man. Originally bought for $580 million, then bought for $87 million.
So Justin Timberlake's portion was $35 million of that 500 and whatever?
Yep. Jointly purchased the company for approximately $35
million. Oh, okay. See, I misunderstood.
So he didn't really own it for very long. I think he kind of saw the writing on the wall. If you looked at like even 2009, 2010, you saw that it was a company that was just going down. People were more hooked into Facebook because originally Facebook, you had to be in college. And if it stayed like that too, and then you have to get off when you're out of college, it probably would have been such a much more better site than it is now.
That's a good idea. Mainly, once you get out of college, what if you're like me, where you never get out of college, you never graduate, you still get kicked out?
Yeah, you get kicked out and be like, get out of here, loser.
You're 38.
Stop trying to, yeah. But now some of the other ones that we have, you know, you have the Facebooks, Instagrams, TikToks. It's a video service thing now, but people want shorter videos. You know, YouTube adopted the way that TikTok does videos, Instagram, like it's always adapting and not for the better as far as I'm concerned, but I guess it is what it is. Social media is a poison, but it is necessary to have a podcast and you need it so you can talk to your audience of 40 people.
I think if those sites were still going out, do you think they would benefit podcasts like this? Because so many things have changed.
MySpace, maybe. If we had done a podcast, which they would have just called Internet Radio, maybe MySpace. LiveJournal? No. No way. LiveJournal, I'm surprised it's still going. And most of
too.
It is just Russian bots. And the fact that MySpace is still going.
Yeah, what the hell is MySpace?
Well, it's like it's a music thing now. It's more about music than anything else. I've tried going on MySpace and LiveJournal. LiveJournal doesn't have your old account either. I think mine was like Beerboy 313, maybe. I don't know. I wasn't even living in Detroit. I
met girlfriends on MySpace and Black Planet. But you don't think kids would like the idea of going on a site, learning coding, learning how to put music on certain things? Because you really could put anything on. I mean, you would get shut down if it was too explicit.
All they want to do is just do like heavy breathing and just face down, breathing out of their mouth, scrolling through, watching TikTok videos.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is a Mr. Beast video. That's really good.
That's what they
like
do.
That one. What about Logan Paul? What's Logan Paul doing? Jake Paul's gonna get rid of your box again. Oh yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that's like, I hate this generation. I don't. I think they're more capable of solving problems that we've run into. Any younger generation is going to be better than the last. I think that wholeheartedly. I think as you go further in, it's like, yeah, boomers are terrible, but I think also, what is it, the golden generation or whatnot that only has maybe 5 or 6 people left, you know, World War II veterans.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. A lot of bigots, a lot of, you know, everyone gets better, I think. Every generation gets better.
You think so?
Yep. And then at a certain time, a meteor is going to hit, or we're just going to blow each other up. So, or blow each other off. Anyways.
That's a real global warming.
Yeah, that's the real global warming.
Well, Black Planet and MySpace, like I said, was a prototype for a lot of these dating sites. That
Thanks for saving me there. I appreciate
you see
that.
Now, like OkCupid. What's the one with the swipe left, swipe right?
Oh, Tinder? See, Tinder. I don't those are like dating apps. Technically, yeah, you could say those are social media apps. I'm not on there because if I was on there, I would have my balls in a sling and my throat cut. Why would you be on Tinder if you're with someone and married?
I didn't say now. I said if.
Oh, no. That's,
no.
No, I'm just.
Wait, what are we talking about here?
I'm not trying to dig your grave here, buddy. I'm just like, no.
There's nothing
I'm
to
not
dig.
Saying that.
I'm just saying those sites in the past were prototypes for sites like this, where, like I said, Black Planet largely started off as a social media site, but it was also a dating site. And
well, you could say that about Zuckerberg's first foray into social media, which was the face rating thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's the same
yeah.
thing as Tinder.
Which
he
is
was
a horrible thing
one.
To do, if yeah. you think about it.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny, but, you know, it's a very incel thing to do because he was trying to, you know, bring down people to his, I don't know, goblin level.
So before Facebook, they were doing that?
Yeah, he did it as a lark. He spoke about it, and it's in Social Network, which is an amazing movie.
Still,
you get to see
it.
It is really good. The soundtrack is, I think that's one of the reasons why I like it so much. I think it's Atticus, I can't remember his name, and Trent Reznor.
Oh,
and it's a David Fincher movie. It's really good. Anyways, that's basically it for the beginnings of social media. There's Friendster and all these other sites, but we talked about the ones that we used.
I just remember it was the Wild Wild West back then. Like I said, you can pretty much post anything you want. You
oh,
could
yeah.
constantly create your own. Yeah, it's the beginning of, I think, this generation's coders or people who now do and design websites for money, because a lot of the people that were doing that type of stuff, yeah, that they made a career out of it. And I was definitely thinking about doing that because it was fun doing mm-hmm. my website, even though if you look back on it now, it will look archaic and like cheesy and corny. But speaking of websites, AfterSchoolSpecialPodcast.com. Visit our websites. We're getting new listeners on there, I believe, because...
Oh, wow. Very nice. Very nice.
Actually, yeah, you see it on the stats. I'm like, oh, that was it had to be our website.
Also hire a website intern.
Yes,
so
or designer.
Let's get yeah. interns. You want college credit? Maybe. Come to After School Special Podcast.
Shrugs. I don't know what we're doing. This is a mom and pop type of operation we got here, or a pop and pop, or whatever you identify as.
Exactly. So, from us at After School Special Podcast, we say good night and good luck. Bryn, can you say goodbye to the listeners?
Goodbye.
So cute.
Adorable. Thank you, sweetie.
Listen to our old episodes, Lash Key Kids, Broken Homies. Our last episodes, we really put a lot into. We had the new one, the Batman one, the animated series, the Retro Rewind. We just had the reality TV one.
Yep. The episode where I eat a sandwich for 12 minutes.
Yep. And then the other ones in the past that we did that we were really, really, really excited to do. You should check those out. After School SPE3 on Twitter. After School Special Podcast on Instagram. After School Special 3 on
TikTok. And also find me on my personal account, Jumpin' Jehoshaphat, on Instagram. Twitter also, I believe, is Aaron Smith, maybe, or Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. I can't remember off the top of my head.
YouTube.
YouTube, After School Special Podcast on YouTube. We're having fun over there, too. Have a listen. Have a ball. Also, I'll be putting out live streams of me watching the World Cup. And yes, it is as boring as it sounds, because soccer is boring.
Oh, well.
No, it is.
It looks boring.
I absolutely hate soccer, and I have no interest in it whatsoever. But I love watching my kids playing it. All right, everyone listening, we love you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Say one bad word for the lady that gave us crap. Go ahead.
Shit.
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Fuck shit. Fuck cock. Fuck shit. Fuck balls. 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 Fuck shit. Cock. Suck. Fuck.
Fuck shit. Motherfucking goddammit. Son of a bitch. Suck a dick.
Shit.